To Wine and Dine by Kia Rona. Read by Rhea 314. Fandom Yuri on Ice. Pairing Katsuki Yuri, Victor Nikiforov. Rating General Audiences. No archive warnings apply. Read for Night Tracer. Hope your trip goes well. Yuri has been to thousands of restaurants, from glittering gold halls to hole-in-the-wall dumps that happen to serve the most savory tapas for 100 miles. But Eros and Agape is a restaurant that fits nowhere in the general scheme of things. Clean-cut and expensive in a minimalist way, white tile floors like milky mirrors and the entirety of the place filled with an irresistible aroma from the open kitchen. Yuri has no idea why Celestino had chosen him, of all the food critics, to come here. He's supposed to be unassuming, the everyman, someone a restaurant will treat like an ordinary customer without being aware of the impending critique. But at Eros and Agape, in his lumpy sweater and second-hand black slacks, all alone, he sticks out like a sore thumb. Even more embarrassingly, he'd once done the chef equivalent of an internship here, under the sous-chef Christoph Giacometti, before he'd given up on the idea of being a chef himself and was drawn into the world of criticism. Though he doubts they remember him, because he had been completely forgettable in his anxiousness and tendency to crisp the creme brulee a bit too much, the discomfort still rises easy within him. He's led to a table by a tall black-haired man who looks as though he's bursting at the seams with emotion, and his waitress approaches, fiery red hair gentled beneath the dim lights. "Good evening, sir. I'm Mila, and I'll be serving you tonight. Can I start you off with anything?"
"Just champagne will be fine. Any champagne. God knows he'll need it."
"Of course. I'll have our chef choose and be back as soon as possible, sir." Yuri is sitting there, squinting up and wondering if the chandelier is embossed with real gold, when Victor Nikiforov emerges from the kitchen. Suddenly, the chandelier could have been crashing down atop him, and Yuri wouldn't have noticed or cared. Victor Nikiforov, the owner of the 5-star restaurant Eros and Agape, a man at the top of the world of fine cuisine. Besides being a savvy businessman and an impossibly talented head chef, he is unfairly handsome. His blue eyes match the sprinkling of sapphires in the white tiles on the floor, and Yuri is no longer confident that he can eat because a swarm of butterflies emerges and takes over his entire stomach. Victor is laughing beatifically at an older couple, complimenting their meal choices and, in general, being untouchable and fey, when the blue eyes swing in Yuri's direction.
"Oh no," Yuri registers vaguely.
He is certain he can hear mental screaming from somewhere in the gelatinous soup that is now his brain.
"Good evening, sir,"
Victor greets, and Yuri wants to snatch the "sir" from his mouth, stuffed into the pocket of his slacks, and burst from the restaurant.
"I hope you're enjoying your first time dining with us."
Technically, it's not Yuri's first time dining here. The interns were treated to one evening, but Victor wouldn't know this, and Yuri wouldn't expect him to, because the entirety of the time Yuri had been working in the kitchens, Victor had been off sampling potential ingredients from various wineries and farms in France. When he'd finally returned, he'd swept past Yuri, who was covered in flour with pesto smeared down the front of his smock, and never looked back. Yuri had eventually realized that he couldn't produce with his own hands the flavors that his discerning tongue could pick up and appreciate, and he'd left. He'd left because he'd admired Victor since the other man was 16 and winning international cooking competitions that a chubby, youthful Yuri always watched. And he hadn't been able to be like Victor. Not yet. He's practiced since then, but only in the dark of Minako's kitchens at her restaurant, Benoit. This, that. He should tell Victor all of this.
"I'm not dining yet," Yuri says instead.
It is probably the stupidest sentence in English that has come from his mouth, though not the stupidest thing by far.
Instead of demanding that Yuri be tossed from the restaurant, Victor just smiles, tilts his head, and replies with a chuckle.
Of course not. I just hope the atmosphere is to your taste.
Yuri looks around again. He has many tastes in many things. Celestino had hired him and trusted him because, with careful urging from Hiroko from a young age, Yuri had developed a discerning palate, had been able to pick out spices or flavorings in dishes that no one else could. An atmosphere, though. He knows what is acceptable of a hole in the wall, and a food truck, and his own little apartment, and a 5-star restaurant in Paris. Eros and Agape outshines all of them.
The look is nice, he says, unsure. But the smell is what makes it all come together.
Victor beams.
Yes? You think so? Christoph tells me I'm crazy for insisting we circulate the air from one of our ovens and leave so much of our product in it.
It's brilliant, Yuri replies and fusses with his napkin.
Unheard of.
What is also unheard of is the way Victor continues to stare at him, eyes like blue flame.
Would you like to come back and see the kitchens? While you're waiting for your meal.
Yuri should really say no. If he encounters Christoph, it might become awkward. Yuri should also say no because he's not sure his legs will work. Not if he takes the arm that Victor is now offering.
Yes, Yuri's mouth blurts.
The kitchen space is bustling, but Victor navigates it with the regal air of a ruler in his kingdom. He sweeps his hand in grand gestures, smiling wider every time Yuri gives approval of the setup, or the careful actions of an employee.
You're familiar with this,
the silver-haired man observes, eyes lighting up. He chatters eagerly as he continues to lead, grabbing Yuri's hand with ease. Yuri tries a spoonful of borscht right from the pot, has 3 newly created eclairs pressed into his hands. Mercifully, Christoph is occupied and doesn't seem to notice them, and Victor doesn't bother the other man, just tells the young brown-haired man with a rolling pin and 1 earbud in that he's leaving Christoph to man the kitchens tonight. Yuri assumes that, after the tour and being led back to his seat by the owner himself, that the fairy tale will be over. It is not. Suddenly, an eclectic combination of appetizers is being brought to him by a smirking Mila, who only shrugs and says, "Mr. Nikiforov insists." By the time Mila's brought over a second dessert for Yuri to try, the realization hits him, boiling over from little bubbling questions. Victor knows he's a food critic, knows he works for Celestino and wants to impress him. Suddenly, the sourness of his French lemon tart is too much. Of course Victor would lead him around the kitchens. Of course he'd fling free desserts and appetizers at Yuri. Of course he'd approach, like he's doing now, with several colorful macarons on an ornate tray, while Mila mysteriously disappears.
They're fresh, he chirps.
He gives Yuri a questioning look, and Yuri nods before he can figure out what the question is. Victor settles into the chair across from him, picks up an elaborately carved silver fork.
Says Yuri.
But then Victor Nikiforov is lifting a bite of macaron to his lips with a pleased, heart-shaped smile. Yuri takes it. Chews. Lets it melt over his tongue. He can't help the embarrassing moan of appreciation, and at this Victor straightens and essentially shoves another bite at his lips.
You don't need to do this, Yuri thinks, to keep your 5-star rating.
Good consistency and balance of the sweetness, he says, because he might as well not hide his critique now that Victor's figured it out. The blue one was a bit dry. Maybe check your oven temperature.
Okay, Victor breathes.
Yuri hopes he's not insulted him. Yuri can't bake macarons like this. His hands would tremble, and he'd overthink things. so he doesn't know where the instructions are coming from.
Could I interest you in champagne?
I already have champagne.
Not of the quality you deserve,
Victor replies.
The chefs are instructed not to choose the most expensive, if given chef's choice. It wouldn't be right.
Ah, Yuri hadn't chosen for himself. Of course Victor would be an honest businessman as well. Victor is gesturing then in the air, a flick of his wrist, and before Yuri can process, there's two glasses of champagne on their table in delicate flutes. Emila is leaning over to whisper in Victor's ear.
A table on the balcony just opened up. Could I take you out there?
Yuri supposes he wants to show the food critic the entirety of his dazzling restaurant. Like he doesn't already have 8 stars out of 5 in Yuri's book. Then Victor leads him outside, and the only stars Yuri can think of are the ones twinkling above them in the swirling navy skies, the coolness of the evening air. Victor's restaurant sits high, crowns the city of Paris, and lets them linger over it together, two men teetering over the edge of the world. Before he knows it, Victor's engaged him in conversation.
When and why did you come to Paris?
Love of good food.
Do you have a family?
Parents and a sister back home in Hasetsu, Japan.
Do you have a dog?
A poodle. And he doesn't have a name. No, really.
Do you have someone at home waiting for you?
Pajit, Yuri says, blinking. He's my best friend and roommate.
No,
Victor says, a curve to his lips.
Like a lover, Yuri.
The champagne nearly comes out Yuri's nose.
No,
he says bluntly. Victor says, and nudges his foot against Yuri's under the glass table. Yuri drowns his resulting frantic confusion in champagne and 3 successive bites of coq-au-vin. He knows, of course he knows, that it's a show, a use of Victor's good looks to convince Yuri that the dinner is of the best quality. But he doesn't have to, is the thing. Everything Yuri has tried has only further convinced him that Eros and Agape is better than any other dining experience. When Yuri is completely stuffed, and they've covered a surprising amount of conversation topics, Victor leans forward, puts his hand atop Yuri's with an odd degree of care.
Will you come back and dine with us again?
I'd love to dine with you, Yuri admits. Victor's hand squeezes atop his, the brightness of his smile cloaked in the romantic heavy dark of the night. With a shivering realization, Yuri notices that they're on the balcony, alone. The other tables, formerly all occupied, have been completely cleared. Yuri's plate is cold. He can't remember how long they've sat here talking. He got here at 7, but where the moon sits indicates a much different time. Yuri can't bring himself to care.
Hey!
A youthful voice growls from the entry to the balcony.
Are you ever going to get up and leave? It's 2 a.m. Some of us have school in the morning, and you making eyes at each other can't possibly be more important than my education.
This is our busboy, Victor explains warmly, as though introducing a friend instead of an aggravated teenager.
Yurio. He's also my cousin, but you'll never hear him say it. We're trying to teach him to cook as an anger management method.
I did not choose to be related to you, Yurio snaps. Also, I don't need anger management. I just need less of you. Anyway, clear out, old man. Becca and I have to give a presentation early tomorrow, and I'm not going to fall asleep halfway through it and ruin his grade.
Of course. My apologies, Yurio.
Yuri stares between them. Victor smiles, all serenity and heat, while making no movement.
I should go,
Yudi says then. Folding his silk napkin carefully, Victor stands.
I'll escort you out.
Then they're on the sidewalk outside, Victor standing tall over him with hands tucked into his pockets, smiling too gently down.
You'll come back. Tomorrow?
I'm not sure I'd be welcome, Yudi replies, peering up into the dark rooms of Eros and Agape. Considering I didn't pay my bill, do you have a card reader on your phone or something? Oh no, I didn't even tip Mila.
That's very chivalrous of you, but I'll take care of her.
Victor waves one hand lazily.
Also, it's on the house.
Yudi bites his lip, swallows.
You really don't have to do that.
In response, the other man just brushes gently at Yudi's shoulder, hidden beneath his light coat.
I want to. I want you to come back, and I want you to try everything I have to offer.
Yudi's face is burning. As wonderful as this is, it's too tempting. He wishes he could have Victor for more than a night, be spoiled like this outside of an evening where he's serving as a food critic, talk to him about everything under the sun.
I will,
he says finally. But I do have to get a receipt at some point to prove to my boss that I was here. Victor stops the absent-minded stroking at his shoulder, clear blue eyes landing on Yudi's own.
What?
You know, Yudi prompts, because I'm a food critic for Le Figaro. The hand at his shoulder grips just for a moment, before Victor steps back, sucking in air past his perfect lips.
Oh, he says. If Yudi didn't know better, he'd say that Victor's pale face is coloring rather nicely, rose pink.
I shouldn't tell you this, Yudi babbles, looking down at his shoes. But there'll be more of us in the upcoming weeks. My boss likes to be very thorough, but just do what you did tonight and provide the quality of food I know you can, and I'm sure you can charm them.
Tonight will not be repeating itself.
Victor cuts him off firmly. Yudi puzzles over this statement briefly before a pale hand is tugging at his wrist, bringing it up and unfurling his fingers to reveal Yudi's palm. A folded piece of paper is promptly pressed into it.
You should open that after you've written your review. Only then.
Because it's my very large bill? A choking laugh is his only response. Then Victor Nikiforov is pulling back again, out of Yudi's life, waving at him as he disappears into the heart of France, busy as it always is, even in the dead of night. Yudi stuffs the piece of paper in his pocket and closes his eyes, tries to commit every memory of the night to his mind. The feel of Victor's touch sparking on his skin, each savory bite of his meal, Victor's smile and flowing conversation, like he'd known Yudi for years and wanted to know him for years more. Pijit looks at the paper, because Yudi's been instructed not to, and cackles like a madman.
Oh, Yudi, he says.
Pity me all you want, Yudi replies, miserable.
It's not pity on you.
Pijit likes speaking French, has picked it up more quickly than Yudi from nights at bars and clubs. I can't wait until your review is done. In only a few weeks, it is. Celestino gives everything his stamp of approval, and Yudi returns home to Pijit eagerly yanking him through the apartment. Sit down, Pijit instructs, and hands him the little slip of paper he's been keeping safe. Yudi goes back to Eros and Agape that Tuesday, the only day it's closed. Victor lets him into the kitchen, smile a private thing. Before I knew you were a food critic, I wanted to give you a lesson. He admits. You clearly knew details about food preparation, but I'd never seen you around the circles. Yuri rolls his sleeves up. I've tried to cook before. I'm not very good. He admits. 3 hours later, Victor strongly disagrees, and tells him so with heated, flavorful lips. Kristoff interrupts their fifth session. Hi, Victor. Hi, Yuri. He says to the floor where they're tangled up in each other, flour in their hair from an earlier playful disagreement. Good to see you back in our kitchens, darling. You were the best intern we had. Shame you left us so quickly because of one failed attempt to run our kitchen. I had to give your position to Cal Bin, of all people. The man can't tell lamb and veal apart. Nothing like you, the man that perfected our recipe for pork au champignon. What? Says Victor. Yuri is responsible for my favorite dish. Yuri slaps frosting-covered hands to the Russian's ears. I'll leave you both to it, Kristoff exclaims, pulling a pie from the fridge. Oh, Yuri, Pajit does like raspberries, yes? Loves them, Yuri replies, utterly confused. You know Pajit? Wonderful. Victor, take him home so I can have Pajit all to myself. Good night, lovebirds! As a head chef, Victor pays quite a bit of attention to the suggestions of his sous chef. He does take Yuri home. Yuri spends 3 hours obsessing over his kitchen gadgets while Victor excitedly demonstrates, before they collapse into bed together, cuddled up. Each successive lesson after that is sweeter, closer, the highlight of Yuri's week. By the time their 10th lesson rolls around, they have to go back to Victor's apartment before they do something that violates food health codes. When Yuri's lost count of how many lessons they've had, how many nights they've gone out to dinner together or walked hand in hand through Paris at night, he arrives one Tuesday with a recipe under his arm. Oh, you're choosing today, Victor says, beaming. Let's see. It's three-tiered, frosted, and something Eros and Agape has never made before. It's a wedding cake, the Russian realizes. Yuri, it's a wedding cake. I know, Yuri replies, fiddling nervously with a box in his pocket. Do you want to make it? He assumes, from the way Victor nearly swoons onto his food preparation counters, that the answer is yes. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.